It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Bitcoin all-time high. This is the Access of Easy podcast, the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach, and featuring your two favorite Bitcoin enthusiasts, Joey and Len. Buddy, what's going on? How the heck are you?
I'm okay, Joey. What a great day for people that hold Bitcoin. And I don't hold any soon enough because I'm going to be going boating with my cold card, and it's maybe just going to disappear. But doesn't matter. The government's going to make me whole. How are you, Joey?
I'm great, man. Good day to hold Bitcoin, like you said. We have exercised a great deal of patience in the Bitcoin space over the years, from FUD amidst friends and family to the threat of looming Leviathan governments cracking down. And I think, Len, it's safe to say that we have prevailed. The fight is over. The towel is being waved. And now it's just a matter of how high this thing goes. My guess, a lot higher. So I'm happy about that.
117, is that your guess?
I think the measured move, I mean, I'm not a chart guy, but the measured move is like 140. It's like 140 to 160. So I don't know.
I thought 117 would be like a
peak. What, that finance a lot guy on Twitter talking about how it'll never go higher than 112. Like, talk about nuking your reputation over just like being sour about the price you don't hold any. Is that the problem?
The one thing you should never do with the price of Bitcoin, and we'll say it never hits, especially for all time. Like,
it never fails. Close to,
right? That was like 10%, less than 10% of the all time high. Yeah. So you shouldn't say, if you say it's never going to hit 5K again, okay, I could kind of buy that.
Yeah.
But you're not going to, somebody's not going to go out and say now it's never going to hit 125. Because if you wait long enough, it will get there.
Well, this is free content for people who listen to this show for actual cybersecurity talk. But don't forget, you have war in the Middle East right now, recession looming, turmoil at the White House, turmoil in the economy, and we still haven't had a Trump-era rate cut in the U.S., and we're at an all-time high. So you do the math on this. Like I was saying to Kenzie today, I've said this on, I think on our show before, or maybe to you privately, like, we're on 1.5 salaries right now. So my credit card bill is higher than it's been in a long time. And I just have no interest in paying it down because I can see the writing on the wall. And so I pay a little bit every month, but I haven't stopped investing in equities, haven't stopped investing in Bitcoin. Because I just think, like, this is the, if you can't see the game by now, then it's going to be difficult for you to come out from underneath the avalanche of spending that's going to come down the pipe in the next, 6 to 18 months, let's say. Big beautiful bill just passed as well, obviously. So talk about tailwinds, man. We got them. We got them in spades in Bitcoin. And if you haven't started buying yet, you should be considering it, I think. Not financial advice.
Yeah, 100%. But stay safe, I guess.
Wear a life jacket on the boat. Let's talk about the quote from last week. I have to scroll down here. Tracy was good enough to help us out with a little correction here. Last week's quote, knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. That was by Johann Wolfgang van Goethe. I don't think I said that right. I think it's actually Van Gaith, but I don't know. Nobody got it, so it doesn't matter. This week's quote, people do not seem to realize that their opinion of the world is also a confession of character. Love that quote. If you know who it was by, put it in the comments. Don't forget, you can only look at the names of other boats when you're out on Lake Ontario for the answer. So unless the answer is like, Big Lady or Ugly John, then chances are you're not going to be able to get it. But if you do get it by chance, put it in the comments and you get your next round of renewals on Easy DNS. Where do you want to start today? Some bangers.
Yeah, Prime Day. You do any shopping for Prime?
Yes, I did. I'm not going to tell you what I bought, but yeah, I did. Big time. Yeah. I bought a 75-inch TV, 4K, 120 for $1,000. And I'm going to put it next to my other big TV in the basement, and I'm going to overstimulate myself like crazy all fall on Saturdays watching college football and Sundays watching NFL football, and I can't wait.
You're literally going to have a dual TV yes. setup.
There's going to be wow. there's going to be more than 130 inches worth of television on the wall, and it's going to be sick. I can't wait. My wife couldn't believe it today when I had to get the Amazon guy to help me bring it in. The TV is just gigantic, so big. Yeah.
Well, it's time to bring a couple of Xboxes over there due to System Link, and that way you could take advantage of these massive TVs and play some Call of Duty. Just have a huge LAN party.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Invites seven of your not so closest friends, and just have fun.
Yeah.
Chirp them until they cry.
That's right. Until they beg for mercy. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyways, I didn't make a single purchase during Prime. The last few, I don't think I have made any purchases whatsoever.
You know what? There's a lot of good stuff there, but my days of buying kind of things that are nice to have and not things that I actually need, or in this case, the TV. Like, you know, it is a nice to have. I don't really need it, but. In years past, I would have bought, like, you know, if shirts or underwear or something were on sale. You know, you don't need new underwear. You don't necessarily need new shirts.
No, those are things. Those are consumables you're going to have to.
Yeah, and so this year I didn't do it. We spent a lot of money on the baby, obviously. So my priorities have changed since the last Prime Day, which is good. It's all good. No problem. Happy to just walk away with the TV. I'm happy with that.
I should have bought an alternator. I needed one for my car. I didn't realize I should have went on Amazon.
Are they selling them? I don't know if they're selling.
No, they don't. Especially not for a 23-year-old car. You have to,
when you select your model and year, it's not even an option. Yeah, the drop-down menu doesn't go that far.
It's too darn old. But anyways, yeah, a lot of people are doing these shopping online. And even normally outside Prime Days, people are doing it. But Prime Days, it attracts a whole bunch of people. But because of that, cyber criminals are trying to take advantage of that. They've been very active. And through this, their initiatives include creating fake websites and sending out some tricky messages, trying to steal personal information from people and their money. And they set up these malicious domains, right? They're fake websites that look like they're coming from legitimate sources, like Amazon, but instead of an ON, it's 0N.com. So yeah. If you look at it, you know, really quickly, it looks like Amazon.com sent you something, but in reality, it's not. Or you're clicking on a link that goes to Amazon. It's a different one. If there's only a product out there that somebody would sell, like EasyDNS, for instance, that would ensure that these type of things don't happen. For
is that why they give us these stories? Because they're on top of this over at EasyDNS?
I would imagine. It's a good way to, if you do have a website, to make sure that nobody's putting a website that looks familiar to your own legitimate one.
Yeah.
And by using EasyDNS products, you're going to be able to.
DomainSure and EasyMail do this, by the way. So DomainSure for the URLs, and I think EasyMail prevents the spoofed emails, right? They keep an eye out for stuff like that. So
yeah,
can't beat it. Would you ever fall for this, you think?
Well, no, because I'm pretty good. Like today, for instance, at work, I received an email right away. It looked like it was legitimate to my work, included an attachment. Obviously, I didn't open up the attachment. I saw from a suspicious source that I wasn't familiar with, even though the information looked to be legitimate within the body of the email.
Right.
I just sent it to the proper people that they could look into it and deal with it. So no, I think I'm pretty good with not clicking on links that I shouldn't have. But you know what? A lot of people, I don't think, are like that. I think that once they see something, they'll click it. They get one of these phishing emails, especially, you know, if they think it's from a big company like Amazon, and there's something inside it that's the message that may be appealing for them to click on it.
Yeah,
they do it, and then they're off to the races, especially if they start inputting information like their username and password or credit card information into the fake website. Then they have that information and they're going to just do with what they wish with it. So people just need to be wary with what they're clicking. And I know that a lot of people are just not computer literate, but you know, just take the extra few seconds just to look what you're doing.
Yeah. I will also note that an easy way to prevent yourself from being grabbed by something like this, Len, why not just use the app, you know, instead of using the browser? You know, you have it on your phone, you have it a bunch of different places. I think that's an easy fix. And it's one of the reasons that apps gained popularity in the first place, right? Save yourself from potentially getting rug pulled by some nefarious actor vis-a-vis malicious domain, malicious emails. To me, it's like if it doesn't open in the app, then that's your first tell. And I think most people, regardless of technical competency, should know that. But maybe I'm giving them a little too much credit.
You know, I don't even have an Amazon app on my phone.
It's the best app on the planet. It's absolutely seamless, like butter, never slows down, never lags, never hiccups. You can do everything from buy stuff to return stuff to AI chat to support chat, print your labels, you name it. It's all there. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. It's a really, really good app. Can't recommend it enough. If you use Amazon, that is. If you don't, then ignore that.
don't. Every time I need to order something, I go through my wife, and she has the app, yeah. not me. But I, you know, if ever I have to go to Amazon, I'll be honest, I just go on the website and just look at it from there. But yeah. I don't make the order. I just look at it just to see what's out there.
You're just the cart guy. Someone else carries out the order.
Yeah, well, kind of. I'm just sometimes I'm just simply a lurker. Like I just got the email this week for the Switch 2 is available again. They're sending me. They keep sending me the email that I'm able to order, and I just choose not to. So often I'm just lurking for stuff, and one day I'll purchase something, but that you know, not today. I'm
still not today.
I'm in hodling mode for the time being. Rondo docs.
Oh boy.
Rondo
I knew you were gonna want to rate this. Where do you come down?
The fact that at least they have like no zeros and I'll give it like 0.5 out of 5.
Okay.
It could have got a zero, but they're not there.
It's a tough one because Rondo is a great point guard in the NBA or was. He'll probably make the Hall of Fame. He has a couple championships, I believe. I'm gonna give it a one. Yeah.
You know, this is a new type of computer program that could take over devices that are made by TBK Vision and also internet routers from Four Faith. And it looks like they're doing this by using weaknesses in those softwares. And even though these devices are old, they have not been updated. People have been using these IoTs, plugging them in, keeping them plugged in, and a lot of them, they just don't update them because they just don't do that, or there's no updates available because the product has been discontinued or decommissioned or whatever by the manufacturer. And so you're just using an old device that is no longer maintained and there's potential ability to attack it. So with the Rondo docs, they're able to send out stuff over there through secret pathways, find a way to get into it. And then from there, they can run some, they call it some online tricks that which they can remain dormant and potentially do denial of DDoS attacks or flood websites with some types of information. So they could use these Internet of Things as basically an army of soldiers out there that are just waiting to be deployed. And it's pretty clever in the way that they stay hidden. They pretend that it is actual real traffic that is being sent out from these devices that is coming from popular gaming sites or gaming places or even from secure connections like VPNs, and it helps it to avoid these systems to figure out what's going on, because if you do sniffing from your router to see what information is being sent in and out, this Rondo docs is doing a good job of hiding itself, so it's looking like it's legitimate stuff that's being sent out. So these Internet of Thing devices that we have, everybody has them plugged in. People should continually look for updates for them. That's one thing. And if they don't have any updates, if this thing has been discontinued, even though this device still may work for you, ultimately it may be working for somebody else if they install some software on it, and they could use this as a way weaponize it for DDoS attacks or something else. Even worse, you never know, they could even use that as a way from listening into you or capturing information that is said or anything that is within earshot of the device. So just be very careful with these older devices. Upgrade them either by software or physically upgrade them to something newer. Or you know what, even better, don't plug them in. Don't use them, right? If it's not plugged in, it can't send any information out anywhere. So
that's the lesson, I think. The Internet of Things infrastructure, especially at this level, is just not robust enough. Like, we talk about these stories with some frequency on this show where you end up with a significant network issue or a significant security issue because one weak link in your chain was, violated by whatever threat actor, Rondo docs or, whatever it is that day. And the solution is always the same from the vendors, right? The vendors are always saying, keep updating, make sure you're patching vulnerabilities when we release the patches, make sure you're upgrading your hardware every so often. What the vendors never say is you shouldn't be using any of this junk because it's impossible to keep everything up to date. And the more surface area you allow for attacks, the more likelihood that you will be compromised, which is obviously the problem. Now, the issue, with this approach, the one that we're talking about, is that everything is online now. Like, I don't know if you see these videos of guys on, you obviously don't see it because you're not on Instagram, but my Instagram Reels thing sometimes feeds me videos of guys who are going into Best Buy and gambling on fridges. They're getting to gambling websites on display model fridges at Best Buy and playing blackjack. Like, there's no need for your fridge to be able to get to BetMGM to play a couple of hands while you're what? Waiting for the ice to form? You just don't need it. But the IoT landscape now has just become so ridiculous that pretty soon your underwear are going to be on the internet, right? And I just, I wonder if these vendors will ever say like enough is enough, or something will happen and, you know, people will just stop using these things. But in the meantime, Len, it's pay to play, and you're paying with your security in a lot of ways. The more stuff you have online in your network, it's just, you're asking a lot of the average person to protect themselves.
Yeah, people, they like convenience. They like these products to do something to make their life a little bit more
convenient. What is the convenience though? This is the thing. Okay, so I didn't want to go down this road, but the other thing I was going to say is like, what additive thing do you get from having IoT on every device in your house?
I don't know, especially on a refrigerator.
Yeah.
I can't speak about the refrigerator because A, I don't watch those Instagram ads, because as you mentioned, I don't have Instagram. But B, I can't even comprehend why one would have something like that, like
in the commercials land, you see, you know, sort of the average, above average attractiveness housewife looking at a recipe on her fridge door, looking at ideas for dinner. Or in the most extreme case, I remember seeing, you know, the fridge tracks your grocery list and then tells you what you could make with the things in your fridge.
Like, do you want them to know this information?
You don't need it.
They're going to know when you're going to leave to get some food.
You know what I mean? Like, what is the point? What is the benefit to this? The risks outweigh the rewards significantly in this case, and people still do it. They view it as convenient, yeah. But I think it's great for a tech demo, but real life, the applications get thin pretty quickly.
Yeah. Cloudflare.
They're back. This is the Cloudflare. Welcome to another episode of the Cloudflare podcast, where
they rolled out something new called pay-per-crawl. Pay per crawl.
So you're paying per crawl. Yeah.
And the aim of this is to give website owners more control over how AI programs access the content on Cloudflare. And the program will allow websites to charge AI bots for trolling or crawling on the website. So people out there using Cloudflare, they do whatever with it. And there's information that they have created and it's now on there. And AI, what it typically does, it crawls just like Google does, Google search does. It crawls for that information and uses that to help program its own database and just improve the AI thing. So it's using Cloudflare information as a way to improve AI. So people that are managing the content, by doing this whole pay-to-crawl stuff, they could potentially get paid for their work when AI companies use it for training their models. And Cloudflare claims to make it easier for site owners to decide if the AI bots can freely access the content, be charged, or blocked entirely.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of websites out there that use Cloudflare, so... But still, if they create some blocks, say they say that they don't want AI to get onto it and they will have to get paid somehow. Okay, that's fine. Does that stop somebody like you or I, Joey, from accessing that content? And if it does not, then how could they stop the AI from simply accessing the content to look like it's you or I? There's so many different ways you could disguise yourself online. And if they make it easy for you and I to get it, then it's going to be virtually impossible to stop AI from getting it. I understand what you're trying to achieve here, but in reality, I think it's just a whack-a-mole thing.
Okay, so I think that the reason, or the ability, I should say, to discern if you're a Cloudflare website or Cloudflare, the provider, I guess, in this case, if you're Cloudflare, you can discern what traffic is AI based by the number of queries. That's how I understand it. So some websites build like what they call tar pits that kind of trap crawlers and give them a hard time when they're scraping. And there's other ways to do this, I suppose.
But you know, when you use a VPN service, Joey?
Yeah.
When I use a VPN service, the exit point, if I'm in the United States, according to my VPN, I only have like 10 different cities, which I could use.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing on a number. if this uses the same type of service, a VPN, using the same tenant.
I don't know that it makes a difference for identifying it though, because it's identifying it by the volume, not necessarily by the location. So if you consider like the way Grok works, right? Like Grok is probably scraping at all times and scraping for each query. Then I would guess that to stop that, you know, through Cloudflare's proposal here, this pay per crawl, you'd have to somehow stop those services from accessing your website, which is probably pretty costly, but not impossible. Now, for me, the big question is, what's stopping these services from using something like archive.is or, you know, remove paywall, which doesn't just remove paywalls. It basically creates a new version of the website. Like the crawlers are going to be way more advanced than whatever these guys are putting up, I think. And you know, at the end of the day, even though the exact mechanism is kind of, you know, above my pay grade, what are the odds that Cloudflare is going to be able to get out ahead of what the AI guys are doing to scrape?
Is
it basically zero? It's basically zero.
Yeah, it's a whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're trying to do. They're trying to create some paid generation, or some revenue generating materials for their users. And I give them credit for trying to think outside the box here, but I just think that it's going to be a losing battle. The amount of time and effort they're going to put into this, I don't think they'll be able to recoup the revenue, enough revenue to justify it. It's just not going to work in the end.
It's an opt-in too for the AI guys, right? So it's another kind of hurdle. I mean, you know, legally, if Cloudflare says, you have to pay per crawl now, and somehow the scrapes get it anyways, like is that a crime? I don't know. I don't know what the rules are there. You know, if I borrow a book from somebody or find another way to get a hold of a book that I didn't pay for, you know, it's not necessarily a crime. If I go to the bookstore and read the first chapter, you know, what's the penalty? I'm not sure.
These are the washroom, because if you watch that Seinfeld episode,
I don't go to the washroom in public places.
You're bound to buy it then, right?
As a general rule, you ought not to do that. So like, I don't know what the rationale would be from Cloudflare if you're asking them to explain why they think they can stop this. I'm not sure that they could, and it doesn't seem like in the article that they've discovered a way, and they're certainly not sharing it if they have. So you make it that what you will. I think the obvious theme here, and it's been a theme on this show for months, AI is not coming, it's here. And the scrapers are advanced. They have more like server-side firepower than anything we've ever seen before. And the idea that you're going to stop them through, you know, similar means that you would stop like a DDoS probably, it just seems unlikely to me. I don't think you're dealing with that level of actor. I think you're dealing with something a lot more advanced.
Well, let's talk about North Korean hackers and the new type of computer virus that they've created called NIMDOR.
Interesting.
NIMDOR. And it's designed to steal money from companies that are involved with, I can't believe it, Web3 and crypto. Web3 is something.
What year is it? Well, is this from 2021, this story?
Well, apparently they're doing stuff to make some money here, because look, North Korea has been very good at infiltrating systems that have lots of digital assets, those digital assets, and before they could do anything like block those addresses, they then convert it into something that can't be stopped, like Bitcoin, for instance. Like, wasn't there a huge hack recently that resulted in them stealing tons of ETH? Was it just happened in the past 6 months? I seem to recall.
That does sound familiar, but I couldn't tell you the specifics, so I'm not 100% sure.
Well, back to NIMDOR. It's a malware that is targeting Apple computers, so macOS computers. And it's done by tricking people through the tried, tested way of social engineering. And they pretend to be somebody that is trustworthy on platforms that are very popular, like Telegram. And they invite them to fake meetings. And they also use this service like the Calendly. We've used that before.
That thing sucks, Calendly.
Well, it's popular, though. Like, you have to
admit. It's, you know what the problem is, though? Like, it's access to Calendly. It's access. is the problem, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. So they sent out email links, and it looks like that there's harmless updates such as a Zoom SDK update script. But when you click on it, it installs the NIMDOR on your computer, and away you go. The NIMDOR is programmed on a lesser known, less common programming language called NIM. And it's kind of similar to C or C++, but so it's a low level language, but it, you know what? It's not as popular. It's, well, C has been around for 40, 50 years. NIM is 10 years old, give or take. So it's interesting that you're using this software to program it. But either way, if you try even to shut down your computer, it still works. Like it's there, it's prevalent, it's going to always be present as long as you get this thing installed in it. And it can steal a lot of information, like your saved passwords from web browsers, details about your iCloud keychain, and even a chat history from your apps like Telegram. And Lazarus Group, we talked about Lazarus, they're North Korean based or affiliated, and they were responsible for stealing large amounts of crypto in the past. This NIMDOR people, looks like they're also trying to do the exact same thing. North Korea is starving for hard money or any type of money whatsoever, because the sanctions that are imposed on them are crippling. Plus, their economy is, well, let's be honest, it's not the strongest in the world. Right? Their policies don't lend itself to prosperity. So one way in order to extend the lifespan of the regime is to steal large amounts of crypto out there. And stuff like this is going to be very popular moving forward, and it's helping them out, right? It's one way that, and it's hard to stop it. Especially once it moves like to Bitcoin, for instance, you can't stop them from transacting with that Bitcoin. They have now a hard asset. They have one that you can't stop. So it's, I can understand why they're doing this. So yeah, just be careful.
You know what the first thing I thought about was when I read this story?
What's that? That
you and I in the CBP inbox get requests for meetings constantly. Every day, yes. There's 10 emails in there from people I don't know, don't care about projects and companies. And,
yeah,
you know, how many of them do you think are hacking attempts?
That's a good question.
I don't know. We're semi-popular, I think. You know, like my wife, I always say I'm a niche internet micro celebrity. But like some of those now, I'm kind of thinking, man, I wonder if they just spin up like a kind of a crappy LinkedIn and throw a couple of slides on there that this guy, you know, made about whatever crypto he's pretending to pitch. And then you click the Calendly thing and bang, you know, you're in hot water after that. So
yeah,
it's interesting, right? There's a lot of this stuff going on out there. And because everyone is working from home, working remote, working, you know, hybrid, whatever, you know, people take calendar invites all the time. I don't even think twice about calendar invites most of the time, to be honest with you. Now, I don't take them from people I don't know, but you know, it's something to consider. You know, who knows? We may have been targeted by this without even knowing.
Yeah, I think we should start accepting these, start meeting these individuals, and go through the process of being trapped through social engineering. But one way I would always do this, I would always say, look, I don't know how to use Bitcoin. I'm trying to learn it. I have this address. Could you send me a little bit of Bitcoin so I know this address
works? Help me learn.
Help me learn. And if they even if it's like 50,000 sats, boom, I got them, and we're going off to the races.
So. That's your do not redeem it moment. If you've ever seen that video, it's an all time great. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Indian scammer.
Yeah,
outstanding. Gets a guy who knows what he's doing, and yeah.
So yeah, we got to start doing that, I think, just to
sure. I mean, if you want to ever put out more content, we could just go through the inbox once a week. Like, here's the best stuff we got. God. Yeah. SEO maximization and meetings about Web3 crypto applications that are just NIMDOR scams. Whoops.
Well, last but not least, the online harms bill.
Every week, not a week goes by where we don't talk about our old friend, the online harms bill.
Yeah, well, this is previously known as Bill C-63. And the main idea about this, looks like it's going to be brought back with this government, is that the law is to make the internet a safer place for everybody to use, especially kids, right? Kids, they need a safer place. Yeah. And it's trying to force big companies out there, like social media platforms, they have to do a better job at stopping harmful content from spreading. And it's a kind of like duty of care type thing where they have to actively work to reduce the chances of people seeing the bad stuff out there that people shouldn't be seeing. So yeah, it just I love having this oversight, somebody watching everything and making sure that the content out there is not bullying children and stuff like that. Like, I love it. Let's pawn this off to the government to do it, not for parents or heck, even kids themselves. Just mm-hmm. give them a little bit of information on what to do, what not to do. Let them learn on their own about certain things. Tell them don't look at the, but also you got to somehow monitor it as a parent too. You could look what's going on through your router, for instance, or even once in a while check the devices of your kids to see if they're doing anything that's wrong. Like, we shouldn't be pawning this off to the government to figure stuff out for us.
It's
the onus is on us.
I agree. I think this is nonsense. I'm not going to dwell on it too much. I will say that to give you an idea of where I think the government is on digital and AI and internet, look no further than the digital services tax, which was rescinded late at night on a Sunday as apparently part of a negotiation strategy. I don't think that that's going to pan out. And I watched Minister Solomon today giving a speech on AI somewhere, and it was absolutely brutal. It was painful to watch. I compare that to what I see from David Sachs in the States, the crypto and AI czar. I already know he's going to win this race. It's not us. And we're spending our time instead trying to push through censorship nonsense on the back of child safety. By the way, Instagram stuff with porn, Twitter stuff with porn. No one seems to care about that. It's all about making sure that we can get at people's information under the guise of protecting children. It's fake. It's fake. So be advised, listener, viewer. This is coming. There's no way around it.
Yeah, they have pretty much a pseudo majority in the House of Commons, and they have a very strong majority in the Senate. So unless something happens in committees where the stuff is then recommended to be changed, I don't think the NDP are in a position to strong arm the Liberal Party right now. So whatever they want to push through in terms of getting into law, the Liberal Party is probably going to get it done. Yeah. Not only that, I mean, this is going into the weeds here just really quick. There was opportunities to bring down the government, and the conservatives, they said no.
No chops, man. No chops. Yeah.
Right. So, like, clearly there is no appetite to change the government. They're happy with the status quo, it looks like. So, and they're, in a way, they're leaderless in the House of Commons, which is pathetic. Right. The official opposition does not have their leader sitting in a seat.
Listen to this. The bill also sought to amend the Criminal Code and Canadian Human Rights Act to tackle so-called hate speech, sparking fears that such changes would chill lawful expression. True. Sean Fraser has indicated that discussions with other ministers, including Stephen Guilbeault and Evan Solomon, will shape the next steps. It's like Curly Larry and Mo out there, man. Anyway, let's sign off.
I love them all.
Yeah, me too. God bless them. God bless you, listener, viewer. Don't forget to sign up for the newsletter, accessofeasy.com, the podcast, obviously, wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, to see our lovely facial expressions. God knows we make some good faces during this show. And of course, don't forget that there's more stories in this every week that you can dive into. So, till next time, I'm Joey. That's Len. Take care of yourself.
Take care.